Good evening, everyone. We'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. This is, we went through 2 Timothy not too long ago. You know, it's Paul's last, some of his last correspondence that he ever wrote. And I think at this point, he's feeling a bit lonely at the end of the chapter here. And that's where we're going to break in, verse 10. For Demas, this is the ESV, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And we'll stop there, and the Lord will bless the reading of his word and this other verses that will be referred to. Now, I'll have to just have a disclaimer right off the top here that I'm going to use this verse as a bit of a launching point. So I don't think this will be a proper exegesis of this verse. And we can definitely talk about it afterwards, and I don't want to abuse scripture, but I want to use an idea from this and to talk about my main topic tonight. Paul was feeling alone, and just to talk about these verses, you know, people had left him, okay? Oh, that's too loud, Dave, but... people had left him, and, you know, the first one's really sad. Demas, and they left him for a variety of reasons, okay? Demas left him because, and it depends how you interpret the verse, but the ESV certainly says that he's in love with this present world, and that's how I always interpreted it, that Demas really had a change of heart. He was no longer interested in the gospel, and he left him because he was in love with the world and wanted to seek the pleasures of the world, and... So Demas left for that reason. Some were sent away. Tychicus was actually sent away by Paul to Ephesus. Crescens left. It seems that Crescens and Titus left of necessity, whether they were sent or they had the Holy Spirit's urging to go to these places. But they left a slightly different reason, I think, than Tychicus, to different places of necessity. And one person stayed, Luke. So from this, I want to talk about, use this as a launching point to talk about why people would leave a church, why people leave a local church, and I talk a little bit about what we might feel when people leave our church, or a church, I should say. So why people leave a church, I have a series of D's here. And we can divide them into involuntary reasons why people might leave a church and voluntary reasons why people might leave a church. And to look at the involuntary reasons, one's pretty straightforward. Death is the first D. That's why someone might actually depart from a local church as they actually pass on to a better place. So death is the first reason why someone might leave a church. The second reason is, second D, is discipline. We could turn to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 13. It says there, but them that are without God judges, therefore put away from yourselves the evil person. This is not a meeting about, or a message about discipline, but it is a reason why someone might leave a church, and it's a bit involuntary. They might actually be put out because of a sin or something found in Scripture. So that could be a reason. But of course, the whole point of that is for them to come back and to be restored as soon as possible. The third reason is deception. That's why someone might leave a church. If we turn to Acts 20, verse 29, and that's where Paul is again saying some last words, to the Ephesian elders. We can just turn there, Acts 20, verse 29. And he says there, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And verse 30, emphasizing this, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So they'll seek to draw people away after themselves. And that could be a reason why someone might leave a church, is that they're being deceived. Maybe someone arises and is speaking perverse things or speaking things that aren't correct, and they're drawn away. They're taken away because of that. They're deceived. So those are the first three D's, which I think are involuntary. But the next three are voluntary. Now, one would be just displacement, I called it, just to keep with the D's. Not too creative, but displacement. And we even have an example here. I've experienced it in my own life. I've moved around a little bit to Vancouver and Australia, and we spent a year in different places. So we moved. We moved away from Winnipeg. We moved away from our local church. We see that in Paul's life, too. Paul, in Acts 11, he spent 1 year in Antioch with Barnabas. In Acts 18, he spent a year and a half in Corinth. And then Acts 19, he spent 2 years in Ephesus. So Paul was a part of quite a few different local churches for long periods of time, actually, in his life. So displacement. The second might be, a voluntary reason, might be doctrine. Now, I couldn't find a direct passage about this. And this whole topic, actually, is a bit hard to find in Scripture, apart from some of the passages mentioned. But doctrine, of course, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, speaks about false teachers that will arise, about the wolves we read about in Acts chapter 20. So if someone is speaking in your church, speaking false things about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, for instance, maybe saying he's not the Son of God, or saying he never rose from the dead, you know, those would be pretty significant things that I think most Christians would find hard to be a part of a place that was proclaiming that, proclaiming a false gospel, really not even getting the foundational truths correct. You know, and there are certainly foundational truths that there's absolutely no backing up on. They're black and white. There can be absolutely no compromise when it comes to them. And I think that is, we would all probably agree that for doctrinal issues, I think a Christian could be fully justified in leaving a church, because you have to question if that place is actually functioning as a church, if they're not preaching the true gospel and speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. And the last one is really an area that is very hard, and I've labeled, there's quite a few D's that would fall under this. Why a person might leave a church, this is kind of everything else. You know, it could be dissatisfaction, discontentment, disappointment. It's almost like those people who came to David in the cave, right? They were discontented, in distress, in debt, those types of people, where you have that. And we have to all be honest, you know, at different times we've all probably experienced those things. You know, I certainly have, I'm sure I've disappointed most people here, and I've also been disappointed, discontented as well, and that sort of thing. And those are all reasons that people, I think, can talk about. And that's an area that's a bit gray, and I'm not going to go into that in great detail. Because I really wanted to talk about particularly when people leave your church or a church. And so we're going to talk about how you may feel and what can we do about it. And this I know this is fairly practical, and you can definitely talk to me if you're not happy afterwards. But how you may feel. Well, the first thing I think you might feel is confused, especially if it hits you out of the blue. You hear about someone who's left, and you don't know why. And I think you might feel confused. And I think it's, you know, that person, you may not be as close to that person. But I think it's important, as part of a body, part of a local church, that we understand why. And I think it's important we find out why, if possible, if that person's willing to talk about it, to find out, you know, what happened, so potentially we can change, or we can prevent it from happening again. So I think the confusion, initial confusion could actually lead to some good in a way. I don't think it's right just to let them go and never understand why. I think we need to understand the reasons, because maybe they have a reason. Maybe they think there's a doctrinal issue, some of the things that we talked about. You know, maybe there's a doctrinal issue. Maybe they're just moving to go to a new place. They're being displaced. Or maybe it's one of those areas that I talked about that is a bit difficult. You know, they're not satisfied. They're disappointed. They're discontent. And maybe that's something that you could talk to them about. So confusion is the first thing that you may feel, or that I could feel. The second is actually hurt. And that's where I would draw the comparison to the Apostle Paul and what made me think of the Apostle Paul, because I think he was feeling lonely. I think he was feeling, it was a low point in his life. He was feeling alone. You know, Luke was with him, but he didn't start by saying that. He talked more about the people who had left him and how he missed them. You know, so I think, you know, if someone leaves, you could feel, maybe you're feeling hurt today. Maybe you're feeling a bit alone. And I want to make it clear, too, that maybe the person leaving, I think usually they're feeling hurt as well. Most people who leave, some might leave quite easily, but most people wouldn't leave easily. And it might have been one of the hardest choices of their life. And they might be feeling a lot of hurt and loneliness as well. So I think that goes two ways. But I think we need to acknowledge, too, that maybe you're feeling hurt. Maybe you're feeling lonely as well. And there's also an element, too, where we can take it personally. You know, and I don't mean this to be a confession, but this is true, and a personal experience that I'll share with you, that you take it personally, where you think, you know, does my friendship or my Christian fellowship really mean nothing to you at all? Like, what was it all just smoke and mirrors? Did that mean nothing to you? You know, but you have to realize most of the time, hopefully not, hopefully you're not the sole reason or the only reason for them leaving. So it's important not to take it personally. You know, and again, to confess too, you know, you might think, well, you didn't value our friendship or our Christian fellowship very much, so I'm not going to make the effort either. And that personal rejection you feel leads to counter-rejection. You kind of reject that person because you feel rejected. So it can lead to complicated feelings. And things like bitterness and resentment may even creep in. And last time I tried to speak about bitterness too, and that can be a very real thing. So that's a little bit about feelings, not something we usually talk about from the pulpit. But I think something that we need to acknowledge too, that maybe you are feeling these things, maybe I'm feeling those things as well. But so what can we do with this confusion, this hurt that we are feeling? So the first thing that you may feel is reflection. Reflection. And that, we kind of talked about it with the initial point there of confusion. You know, I've read this, you know, when someone leaves the assembly or the local church, it's not my fault, it's not your fault, it's their fault. You know, there might be rare instances where that might be the case. You know, if someone's being disciplined, I guess it might be considered their fault if they've fallen into sin, unfortunately. But I think most of the time that's maybe a generalization that shouldn't really be listened to. And I think we need to reflect. Have I contributed to this in any way? Have I contributed actively, whether it's directly or indirectly? Was it something I said, something I did? And if so, I'm told to repent of that and to ask forgiveness, whether it was intentional or unintentional, whether it's, have I contributed to this person leaving in some way? An active, you know, that can be obvious or not so obvious as well, but we need to at least reflect on that. Have I done something? But I think the other thing is, too, just reflection, have I done nothing as far as passive? So active is, you know, have I done something negative? But the other thing is, you know, it's sin if we know that we should have done something and we failed to do it and we've been passive. And that's something that we need to ask ourselves. I need to ask myself, first of all, have I become complacent? Have I become uncaring? Do I actually care about the people around me to reach out? You know, do I just care about my own bubble? Because we all have our own bubble now, right? And it's official. We're supposed to move in our own bubbles. But sometimes before COVID, we all had our own bubble sometimes, right? And we just moved within that bubble And that bubble can get as small as your own family, whereas you're just pouring all your energy into them, which actually is a good thing to do, but sometimes it's to the exclusion of other people who also need care and who also need attention as well. You know, I was thinking of Luke chapter 6 as well for my final point about reflection. And this is also a gray area, and I'm not trying to flesh this out, or I'm not pointing fingers or anything, but it's to myself first. But do I value certain things more than people? In Luke chapter 6, you know, the Pharisees were getting after the Lord because his disciples, walking through the grain field, plucked some heads of grain to eat. And they said they shouldn't be doing that on the Sabbath. Don't you know about the Sabbath? But then the Lord told them, what about David and the table of showbread? You know, David never should have been able to touch that showbread, but the Lord allowed that. He valued the man more than the tradition, and more than even the doctrine of the table of showbread. You know, and going through Luke chapter 6 too, there are people who would refuse to let Jesus heal on the Sabbath because it was the Sabbath. They'd rather that person remain lame the rest of their life than actually be healed or see for the first time. And those are people, who are valuing the Sabbath more than the person. And we can apply that to ourselves too. Do I value certain things, certain teachings, certain things that may not be black and white more than the person themselves? So the first thing we can do is reflect. The second, these are R's now. We went through the D's. These are the R's. The second is reach out. Now, lack of contact might be one of the reasons why people leave, and that would fall under the umbrella of discouragement and disappointment. But also, if it's not why they leave, often I think it acts as confirmation as to why they left. Because some people might say, well, I haven't come out for 5 months and no one even asked about me. No one gave me a phone call. No one gave me an email. And I'm just saying, I'm the first one guilty of this, okay? I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. It's me who's number one here. But I think it has acted as confirmation to some people, because they haven't heard from anyone, and it seems to them it's a lack of care as well. So I think we need to reach out, and I have a challenge for you at the end that we'll talk about. A third thing we need to do is rely on God. It was trust in the Lord, but rely on God. And one of the dangers is that we can ask, like the psalmist, we can cry out to the Lord, how can this be? How can you allow this? You know, this can't be the will of God for you to leave. And I've even gone as far as to say that to people, actually, myself. I've been guilty of that, where I would say, you know, I don't think it's the will of God for you to actually leave. But we have to understand that God is in control of all situations. That's been prayed a few times tonight, that the Lord is over all. The Lord is over these elections. The Lord is over the COVID crisis. He's over all of these things. He's over these things happening in our church as well. And, you know, like any choice in my life or in their life, if God is in it, then they will prosper. There will be fruit. You remember Gamaliel in Acts chapter 5? The Pharisees and the rulers were very upset. They wanted to kill Peter and the apostles and the disciples. And Gamaliel was just a little hint of light, a little bit of wisdom in that council. Because he said, you remember Judas, and you remember, it's not Thaddeus, but it's Theudas, who came up, and they rose up, but then they were totally destroyed. You know, it seemed that maybe they were on God's side, but then they were totally destroyed. And he said, you know what? I'll read the verse, Acts 5, verse 38. Now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. I'm not saying keep away, that's for these people, but he was saying, keep away, let them alone. For if this plan or if this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. You might actually be fighting God's will, is what he's saying. So he actually had a little glimmer of wisdom there, where they, in their minds, this was completely against the Lord's will, what these men were teaching. Totally new, totally foreign. It should be destroyed. They should be killed. And he actually said, if God is in it, it's going to prosper. There's nothing you can do to overthrow it. And again, maybe that's not a true application, but I just want to encourage you with that, to rely on God. And the last thing is, anyone who has left, what can we do? Don't cut them off. It's, you know, some people, I think they've said, you know, once they've left, they feel like no one ever They never had a relationship with anyone because no one ever talks to them again. You know, are they on your email list? Don't remove them. Are they on your Christmas card list? Don't remove them. Are you having some people over, a group of people? You know, maybe in the future, if we can have groups of people over more easily, you know, consider inviting them as well. And pray for them, which has been done tonight. So just to close with some practical points, you know, reflection, you know, be honest with yourself. How do you feel towards people who have left your church, left our church? You know, how do you think about them? Do you think about them as a lesser Christian? How do you talk about them and behave towards them? Have you taken it personally? Like I have. I've been guilty of that. Have you taken it personally? Has the sting of the rejection you felt led to counter-rejection? And if so, you know, if those things have happened, some of those complicated feelings or complicated actions or, you know, do you need to go to them and ask for forgiveness? And that's to myself first. The second is reach out, and this is a challenge. I'll leave you with, you know, I challenge you. We've had people leave, right? And that's what made me think of this. I challenge you, those who are here, in the next, you know, week, 10 days, I challenge you to write a card or a letter or an email to someone who has left. Just reach out, just write a small email about something you appreciated about them. And I challenge you, you don't have to report to me, and I won't hunt you down either, because I won't know. But I just challenge you to do that, to let them know that you did care about them, or you do care about them, and just write a little line, send a little card, write a little email, send a text message if you're good at that. I am not, but if you are, send a little text message. And just let them know that you appreciate them. And with that, we'll close in prayer.